Welcome to Value Nation, where home values, market trends, and real estate hot takes collide. I'm Charlie Johnson, and every episode, I'll sit down with industry pros to break down what's happening in the housing market. So grab your overpriced coffee, refresh that Zillow page, and let's talk real estate without the snooze fest. This is Value Nation.
So kicking off 2025, I have a very, very special guest with us coming to you live from the West Coast, bright and early. Please welcome Rita Sharif. And I got the last name correct, right?
You did. That's right. pretty good. Now, I appreciate it. Very, very excited to be part of the podcast and to chop it up with you guys.
Yeah. So, you know, you've been here for, it feels like just a minute, right? Like it's... You know, as far as, I mean, like a part of the Nationwide family. However, you've been in the industry for a while, a little bit different side than the traditional appraisals we, you know, our teams have been operating in. But, you know, why don't you give us a little bit of background on yourself and let the people know who are we talking to? You know, we got the SoCal guy from what I remember from our very few conversations, right? You, is it born and raised in Dana Point?
I was raised in Dana Point.
Raised in Dana Point.
Yeah, starting when I was about 8, lived in New Jersey before that.
Big culture shock then. Okay, got it.
Very big, very big. And I'm my background is Arabic, and so my parents were both immigrants. And yeah, got to grow up in Southern California, hence the Valley accent that my wife tells me that I have, which is fine. I mean, after all these years, I've accepted it. But yeah, grew up in Dana Point, California. It's right a southern facing town, which is perfect for swells in Southern California. Got to listen to the foghorn every morning, waking up, going to school, going surfing. And before school, we had a surf team at my high school, which is something That's different.
Cool. So is it the Dolphins?
Yep, we are the Dolphins, the Dana Hills Dolphins.
It's spot on. That's spot on for the area, man. Like,
yeah. There was you know, St. Clemente Tritons and all that. Yeah, we had the ocean theme going.
I hear you. But yeah, I'm giving a little, and I got my was it Doheny?
Doheny Beach, Doheny. Very very famous beach down in Dana Point. There's a that has all kinds of concerts. It's a very huge longboarding beach, so you could take your logs, as they say out there, take your 9-foot log and go catch some slow waves and see some older guys just rip right past you because they've been doing it for 50 years. Yeah, wonderful place to grow up, you know. And after that, went to college in Arizona, in Phoenix, Arizona, which was definitely a big difference there from being by the beach, going to the desert. Similar theme, though. It was very good. And that's where I kind of started dabbling in real estate. I had a few friends that worked in mortgage, and I didn't know really what I wanted to do, but real estate seemed very, very interesting. So after college, I moved back to Southern California and started working in escrow, of all things. And so got to really learn every part of the transaction as much as I could from that vantage point, which, you know, as an escrow officer, you're really conducting transactions. So you're making sure you're hitting every mark as you're going through the real estate transaction. So that really exposed me to a lot of different things. So, you know, worked as an escrow officer, worked as a trainer, worked with North American Title and Lennar, the builder, to kind of educate their construction teams about what the escrow process is.
Big builder.
Dove really deep into title, you know, because that's one of the biggest concerns for them and when they're originating. And actually I went up to Northern California and worked there at their headquarters, in the Bay Area for a while, then made my way back to Southern California. It seemed like every time I left, I just came back because missed my family and the beach and the lifestyle.
The SoCal lifestyle. Yeah.
Yeah. The SoCal lifestyle. You know, I mean, we have some pretty good weather down here. I don't like to brag about it too much because we got some people here from the East Coast and different parts of this that are getting snowed in right now.
It's I'm not gonna lie, it's frosty here. I'm in the DC area, and it was a nice, you know, a balmy 18 this morning. Little difficult, you know, when you roll outside in a hoodie with shorts to let the dog out.
Yeah,
not ideal.
Yes. Yeah, see, and I mean, you got to make, in Southern California, you got to make hard decisions like sweater, long sleeve shirt. You know, I mean, it just depends.
Which surfboard to throw in the car that morning, you know, you guys really struggle. Yeah. I mean, look, I've been to Dana Point, I think 3 or 4 times at this point in the last 5 years.
Yeah.
And it is by far, if for anybody who has never seen it, it is the most beautiful thing you'll ever see. Like the area, in, I think anyways, you know, from a California perspective, and I've been to San Diego, LA, Sacramento, even down into the little, almost to Mexico, what is it called?
Yeah.
Where like Lovers
San Diego area. Yeah.
Like even further south than there, right? And not Punta Cana. What is it down there? It doesn't matter. It's just, let's just put the point, let's put the pin back in it. Look at Dana Point. If you ever had the opportunity, you should absolutely go.
100%.
You know, I brought my wife and daughter a couple times and instantly, obviously they fell in love. You know, then we did the surfing lessons right there at the beach, right outside of the Marriott on the cliffs.
Oh yeah.
Walk right down in the water. Look at California. Yeah. You guys are fully committed to just not giving a crap and surfing all day if you want.
Oh, yeah.
And look, I admire that.
It's, I mean, you know, when I was younger, there was nothing stopping me from going to the beach all the time, all the time.
Yeah.
It's definitely, I don't know, for me, because I moved there when I was about, I think 9 or 10, and I came from New Jersey and experienced some winters there, you know, I really understood the difference. But yeah, it's an exceptionally beautiful place to grow up.
A little pricey though, I'm not gonna lie.
Yeah, I mean, you gotta sell your firstborn, but it's, you know, it's a small price to pay for good weather.
Like, you hear the stories, and look, I live in Loudoun County, which is a very expensive county. It's always ranked up there with like your Orange County and then, you know, Loudoun, and it, you know, they're always in the top three battling it out for who's the most expensive. You know, the median income also, it gets you there. It helps because the expectations. However, you know, you go to Dana Point and you're just looking around on Zillow, you know, doing the usual things that people do in the middle when they're bored. How much is that condo overlooking the entire beach and the ocean? One bedroom, one bath for almost just shy of $2 million.
Yep.
You don't get a garage, like your own personal space kind of thing. And I'm like, this is a different animal altogether. And
so
it's
funny you say that. So like, you know, back to the story. So I moved back to Southern California. I was back in the escrow world. And this was probably around 2006. Everything was going fine. Had a nice panel of clients. And the way escrow works is it's very personable, right? I'm talking directly to the real estate agents. And so I had a, you know, group of real estate agents that liked me. But I could tell things were getting a little squirrely. And to your point, right, I remember having an escrow for a condo that was basically a studio in Huntington Beach, which is a little bit north of Dana Point. And it had mentioned that it had a peekaboo view of the ocean.
A peekaboo. Okay, go on.
Peekaboo view, which is something like a term that's used, right? I talked to the realtor because the condo was priced at $1.2 million. And I'm like, this is insane. And I said, what is this view? And so she told me that basically, if you put your head all the way to the side and looked really closely, you could see a little bit of ocean view. And that's what was being marketed. And there was offers on the house. So it was kind of an eye-opening moment for me. I'm like, this probably isn't sustainable, right? But didn't really change anything. But I did get to meet an individual who at the time was the owner of US Res and ResNet, and got to talk to him. And he was in a completely different part of the business. His business was more directed to institutions. So working with banks, servicers, mortgage investors to provide services that they needed in the portfolio world. So not on the origination side where I've spent most of my career, right? So it was another angle to the business, more on the mortgage servicing collateral risk side of mitigating risk when it came to investment that went sideways, right? Which is just part of the business.
Unfortunate side of the business, right? It's not one that we've had to dabble in from as a company.
Correct. Yes. But, you know, as I've kind of spoken to other people, you know, foreclosure is an unfortunate part of the business, right? But at the end of the day, it's a financial tool because, and it helps both the homeowner and the lender resolve that potential loss and that potential risk in their portfolio. So then, you know, they can both walk away saying, okay, we've remedied this uncomfortable, unfortunate situation the best we can. And so it's always been part of the business, right? Not a very talked about part of the business, but part of the business nonetheless. And so, and there's a lot of different services that are provided around it, right? There's the valuation risk. So assessing the property, making sure that the property isn't a nuisance in the neighborhood. A lot of these companies that we work with don't really have the infrastructure to manage an actual real estate property. They're really managing a loan, right? They're managing a loan, payments, escrow, taxes, things like that. When it comes to a property, as you can imagine, when you own a property, if you don't mow your lawn, the city might come out and fine you because, you know, you have an overgrown lawn. So these are the little activities that need to happen. So we actually provide those activities. And in the course of this company starting to do these services, they developed software that basically became a case management software to complete these services.
I feel like that's a natural like evolution, right? You're trying to figure out a way to manage all these different people and users and contractors, you know,
right.
So many outlying people, got to bring them into one place, right?
Yeah. And exactly like you said, it's akin to a real estate transaction. So you're taking care of a house maintenance wise. You're looking after the title of that house. You're also getting ready to sell that house and liquidate the assets. So you have to do everything that you would do when you're preparing to sell a house as an individual. And then everything you need to do during the transaction to fulfill whatever need there was, right? Like inspections, repairs, anything like that. So that's what we developed. And over time, it became evident that we really had something in the software, right? That we could offer this software to a greater number of people than just us who were just using it at the time. And so what happened is that we enterprised the software, we took it to market, and it quickly became one of the preeminent applications that are used to liquidate REOs. So, and it involves basically what we created was an ecosystem. A virtual ecosystem where you could manage everything that you needed to do for this property, everything we just talked about, you could do it in this platform. So right around 2006, I met the owner of the previous owner of the company and started talking to him. And at the time, it was a big jump for me because my career and my work as an escrow officer was still going pretty good. You know, I didn't really see too many reasons other than natural curiosity and the fact that, like I said, a lot of things were being very, very overvalued. And so I was thinking, how is this sustainable for everybody?
Dude, it's not sustainable. It's really not. There's no way.
Well, it really wasn't, because what had happened is I made the decision right around early 2007 that I was going to try to go to this new company and see what, you know, what I could do. And I was still a young man then. So I said, I didn't have any kids. I said, let's try it out. Well, you know, shortly after that, 2008 credit crisis happened and there was massive, massive distress in the market. And so our company became, you know, right. We went from 50. Yeah. We went from 50 to about 400 people just to kind of keep up.
400 people. Wow.
And we had 400 people at the company, and just to accommodate that growth, because there was just so much of that type of work going on. And so, you know, but like I said, there's always a turnover of distress in the mortgage servicing market, whether it be divorce or job loss or whatever it is. There's always some, or a really great example, if we want to get inside baseball about it, are reverse mortgages. Reverse mortgages are a product that is essentially designed to default, right? Because what happened, not to be grim about it, but you know, you're going backwards on a mortgage. And so if you change title, if the borrower passes away, all the stuff, it's designed to default so then it could become satisfied. So in that sense, you know, we look at, if you look at that population of properties, It's always coming in. So it's something that has to be work regardless of what economic cycle we're in.
Yeah, that makes sense. I mean, if Nationwide as a whole has dabbled in the reverse space and has reverse clients, right? Because, you know, you're fulfilling an appraisal that is very similar to, you know, like an FHA appraisal and those, but from the back end perspective, like you're talking about, and how it goes down the line, that's all very interesting.
Yeah.
And to your point, like it is unfortunate, I think, you know, when you're looking at it, you're getting a reverse mortgage. I've had a few clients that were like that. Mm-hmm. And there's been a number of clients that have gone out of business because it's a small pocket, at least.
It is. It is.
Of the reverse
it's thing. An interesting product, not to go on a tangent, but like it definitely is an interesting product because it offers potential borrowers, you know, especially elderly borrowers, a lifeline.
Yeah.
To kind of, you know, continue, especially if you're short on your retirement. It's definitely has its place. It's a peculiar product because, you know, you're obviously the risk is getting greater and greater as you go. But I think if done correctly and disclosed correctly, and there's a lot of laws around reverse mortgage now.
Right.
There's a lot of disclosure that needs to be done so the borrower's in the know exactly what they're getting into, which is good. So where we're at with Nationwide, I felt like we had a very good partnership, potential partnership, because we're in the same service space, right? We're servicing the same archetype, I think, of the mortgage lender, mortgage servicer, which, you know, pretty much all mortgage servicers are going to be involved in some aspect of mortgage refinance. And so it really kind of tails in together where from a product offering, we can go from nose to tail, so to speak, where you could say we could take care of the product from origination all the way towards the servicing cycle.
And that's something you guys have dabbled in from at US Res as well, right? Like, let's back up for a second. You guys, you know, you talked about the evolution of the company and how it went from where it started and then into the software space. But how many, correct me if I'm wrong, you guys had like four different, we'll just call them labels. Is that right?
Sure. I think, so we have three different main business lines. And then within those business lines, there are different service offerings and product offerings. So I think the main one and the one that we shared with Nationwide was valuation. So while Nationwide was a little bit heavier on the origination side, US Res valuation is a little bit more heavy on the portfolio side. So we deal with back-end valuations to really assess risk not related to a credit transaction, right? So let's say you're a real estate investor, you have a portfolio of 100 properties, you're just trying to figure out how much the portfolio is worth. You're not looking to sell. It's not related to any kind of lending activity. The second part is REO asset management, which we actually handle the management and liquidation of REO properties internally. And then the third is our technology arm, which that encompasses a few different portals to do a few different things related to mortgage distress, talking to borrowers, loss mitigation, short sale, and deed in lieu.
Gotcha. So, I mean, that's really cool. And I see why the group, or, you know, Nationwide was attracted to US Res and all that you guys have been doing over how long has US Res been in business?
30 years.
Yeah. 30 years?
Yeah. 30 years. US Res has been around for 30 years.
Yeah.
And then ResNet's been around for, I think, 20 now.
About 20.
And I mean, it's been a long journey. Obviously, I haven't been around for those 30 years, but I've been around for almost 16 of those 30 years. So I've watched the company. Yeah.
You for sure have seen it grow. And how do you guys, I mean, okay, so now you're here, right? You're a part of the Nationwide family, and we're so happy to have you. I got to be honest. Like, when I heard
excited.
About the direction or the concentration that you guys bring, like, origination is what it is, and it's, you have your cycles, and it goes up and down, and continues to give you gray hairs no matter what, even though, like, I go back, like, my daughter still gives me a million. I got them everywhere. Yeah, you're doing great, man, because you got a full head of dark hair and a dark beard. You're
we'll
a lot
see.
Strong. So, but anyways, like, I, you know, real estate investment trusts and that whole side of the business is very intriguing to me. So, you know, once we talked about the connection with US Res, I thought, man, this really can take us as a company into another stratosphere, at least from my, you know, from this true sales guy perspective. So That's my opinion. But like, how do you see, you know, the partnership and coming into the Nationwide family, and how does that going to like really impact what you guys have been providing to the industry, right? And like, how can it grow? I guess is what I'm getting at.
Yeah, I think that one of the keys that right off the bat was very obvious was that we had very similar cultural customer service centric views, right? US Res and ResNet has always been customer first mentality, has had a customer first mentality where we really look to satisfy the customers that we have before anything else because we want to build. And that's really reflected in some of the business that we've had. We've had some clients, some very, very notable names in our industry working on our platform, working with our services for 15, 16, 17 years, which is
that's awesome.
Just amazing because you know what kind of turnover has happened in those businesses. And yet that mentality of customer first, I saw that right away. I think we saw that right away in Nationwide. And then we started seeing that the coverage of Nationwide and the profile of their clients also closely resembled what our client profile is, right? That profile of client required more boutique service. They required more attention, not in a bad way, but in the sense of having a real partnership with those clients to help them achieve their goals, be in there for the long run. So like we talked about, through the gray hair periods, through the joyous periods, we're working through problems together and we're scaling up and down. And I really did see that with Nationwide. Coincidentally, before we even started talking Nationwide, we had some mutual clients that we'd work. So I had the firsthand opportunity to interact with clients and hear their thoughts about Nationwide. And, you know, really more than hearing their thoughts about Nationwide, watching their utilization of their services. You know, and that speaks more than anything to me is that, hey, when you take the chance to become a partner with someone and that partnership sticks and you could see how solid it is from the outside, that's something that really was attractive. And that's one of the biggest things that I see. I think that we definitely have work to do to educate our collective client base about what it means now with our new services and new products and everything that we have to offer, because that's, you know, been, and I'm not going to speak for Nationwide on this, it's been definitely a challenge for us, right? Like, how do you market your company correctly when you do more than just one thing? Because from a need perspective, you know, if I want to go get a product, I'm really focused on that product. It's going to take something creative for me to realize that there's other things going on from the same provider of the one product that I need. And so I think that's kind of the uphill climb that we have is educating, but it's going to be fun. You know, I think that, again, the individuals involved, I've had amazing conversations, you know, and really exciting stuff about how we can bring more value, more productivity to our clients.
100%, man. I fully agree with you on the education piece. You know, we could talk forever on that, you know, just even educating the people on the origination side and how we've been trying to set up our new marketing messages. Here's some new offerings. You know, we've stood up other products in the past that we've talked about on the show as well, like the alternative valuations division with Mike Kirk and them, and trying to sell and present an offering or a solution rather that these guys can use. It's not just the 1004, right? 1004 is 1004 is 1004. Like we always joke around, like, but there's so many other cool, you know, cheaper, faster, stronger kind of products that are out there that, you know, we're trying to educate people on. And then to your point, like, that's just the origination side. Then on the other side, you know, okay, now we're a much bigger solution and provider partner for these people, right? But not all the same people that are working on origination are doing the default side, right? So now I look at it as we're strengthening the partnerships by going wider. Right. So we have multiple people at different levels and then multiple departments. You know, we're becoming a true partner, which is what, you know, Jordan and all her marketing efforts have been tasked with is, you know, how do we present that in a nice cohesive message and consistent, and we get everybody to buy in.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. No, I mean, it's definitely, we're not going to solve it in one meeting, but yeah, no, I feel like I feel like it's really about listening, right? And building that rapport with the client, with that individual, to get them to a place where you're talking about business in general, like we're doing now, right? And not just specifically, oh, well, I just need, you know, a value on this, or I just need you to go do this inspection. Like, well, tell me about your business and what I can do to help you. That's been the most effective way for me, at least in my career, is just listening, you know, just listening, having genuine curiosity in what the issues are and what their processes are to say, okay, well, I think this might work for you. Or being honest on the other side and saying, you know, I don't think any of our products really apply here, but, you know, let me refer you to somebody that I know and move on like that. Because I think genuinely becoming a resource, and this is another thing that I saw as a similarity between NPAS and US Resin ResNet, is that, you know, the highest, I think, compliment I can get from any client is when they call me and say, hey, I want your opinion on something.
Yes, absolutely. I love those. Like, someone sends me a text.
It's the best.
That's the best, yeah. Because you are their go-to. And that means you have established a very strong partnership and relationship with those people.
Right, right. And then you can, you know, and the gravity of that is definitely not lost on me, you know, where when that happens, I take that very seriously. I want to be there for my client. I want to be honest. I want to be forthcoming about what, you know, the goal is. And so that's the best currency, I think, to get those things done. But those things take time, right? It takes time to get to know someone, to open up that door, to find, you know, like interests and like, you know, goals. So, but like I said, I think this partnership opens up the door to those types of relationships. Just a matter of getting it knocked down, right?
Yeah, absolutely, man. Like, knocking those walls down. You know, like, you have built my career and successes on achieving those kind of relationships with different people at different lenders and different institutions. And that consultative kind of, you know, approach, right? I'm not going to just walk in and sell you every single thing that we have on this piece of paper. Like, I'm not even going to bring it out. Like, let's talk. Like, how do you guys operate? You know, through those kind of conversations, and this is not for everybody from a salesperson perspective, right? But having those combos and like, is there a hole that I can fill? And to your point, literally at the end saying, you know what? Everything sounds like it's running really good. I don't know that I can truly help you today, but, you know, I'll keep you in mind in the future. Or, hey, here's somebody else that could probably help you right now with something that I can't offer. It goes a long way. It's just like people having, just like you said, right now, just people having a general conversation, you know, talking through just, what are you doing? You know, who's your favorite team? What do you, you know, where do you like to go eat? Are you married? Do you have kids? Things like that. Like, a lot of that stuff gets lost in the sales process now. So many people are so eager to walk in the door and just beat someone over the head with a product that they don't need, and it doesn't go anywhere. And that's why there's so much fallout in the, you know, the sales arena. People turning and burning, going to a different company, thinking that, especially in our industry, account executives, there's some, and you see them, they bounce ship every year, every January, February, their LinkedIn is updated, right? Because they think it's going to be a little bit greener there. But ultimately the problem is their approach.
Yep. And, well, I'll quote, you know, send a shout out to our CEO, Sri. You know, I've heard him say this multiple times, and it's really is a thought provoking comment, is like, what are you solving for?
100%.
What is the problem that we're solving for? And if you're trying to shoehorn products to a client that doesn't need them, even if you get the product in, it's going to be short lived.
Yeah. And you know, they kind of lose your respect too, right? Like, maybe they'll just say yes, just to appease you in the moment, because they're getting uncomfortable, you're not getting the message, right? And then you lose them 3 months down the road. I mean, 3 months if you're lucky, right?
Right.
They might just order one and then be out, and then hoping that you forget about it.
Exactly. And I mean, look, there's room for that as well. I think that, you know, business is business, and you know, try not to get too emotional about it. But, you know, it's hard not to feel pride when you do deliver substance, right? And that you deliver substance to clients you care about because you've developed that relationship, because you want to be there for them, because, you know, essentially we have to be there for each other, right? You know, they need the product, we need the business, and there you go.
Yeah. you know, speaking of the partnerships and solutions, might be a good time to hear from our episode sponsor. Attention credit unions. Are you ready to revolutionize your property valuation process? Introducing Credit Union Edge, powered by Nationwide Property and Appraisal Services. With Credit Union Edge, you get tailored appraisal solution designed specifically for credit unions. Enjoy faster turn times, reduced costs, and enhanced member satisfaction. Our suite of services includes the Merge ABM reconciliation, combining automated valuation models, comprehensive property data for quick and accurate evaluations, and the Pinnacle Desktop appraisals. Use PAP-compliant appraisals by local experts, offering cost-effective and efficient valuation. Don't let outdated appraisal processes hold you back. Elevate your member experience with Credit Union Edge today. Visit nationwideamc.com to learn more. All right, Rena. So great stuff today, man. It's been awesome talking to you, getting to know you. I mean, I'm really looking forward to what you and the team at US Res brings to the Nationwide family. And ultimately, you know, helping my team out and David Fain and Stephanie, you know, and helping their team grow and understand that there's so much more than just a 1004 in this business to be a true partner in offering, right? But before I let you go, we have a little fun segment. We got a little like 5 rapid fire questions that just I'll give you. Some will have options and some is just like off the top of your head, what's the first thing that comes to mind? So don't panic. I'm not going to ask you about anything you did in college or Tijuana, since that is very close to you.
Yes.
Let's see. Let's go with an easy one first. All right. How about surfing or snowboarding?
Surfing.
Okay. I know you're a big boarder.
Snowboarding is awesome. It's awesome. But surfing at this point is just much more convenient.
Right. Okay. Well, yeah, you're over there. That makes sense.
Yeah. And you need basically your underwear, you know, and a board, and then
you're there.
You're good. Yeah, you're good. Yeah. You don't need
sunscreen
any
sunscreen optional.
Yep. No.
You don't need it.
You're good. Yep.
Not me. I have Irish fair skin. I mean, and a lot of tattoos, so I got to protect the investment. What's the weirdest food combination that you secretly love? Now, we talked about a couple offline before. You got some wild ones that I just don't understand.
Listen, I am a human garbage disposal, as my wife and my mother have attested to. So there is very few foods that I'll turn down. But yeah, I'll do it. I mean, I think the weirdest thing is I love sardines. I don't know. My dad and I grew up, he fed me sardines when I was little. And so to this day, I love sardines.
Just straight solo, right?
Straight out of the can. Yep. Straight out of the can.
No Caesar dressing or lettuce like to get you there?
Nope. Just little mustard, maybe hot sauce. And that's it. Maybe a cracker.
Yeah. I mean, okay. And at least you're getting there. Like,
yeah.
All right, man. Yes,
it's a very solitary love too. Nobody wants to be around you when you eat sardines.
I do not doubt you whatsoever. God. Okay. So, if you could instantly master one skill today, this afternoon, what would it be? What's one thing you've always wanted to do that you're like, I can't, but I would love to?
Man, that's a really good one. Yeah. I mean, I don't know. I guess it would be diving. You know, I want to go spearfishing. I had friends growing up that, you know, we were always at the beach all the time. And some of my friends naturally kind of went into the waterman kind of destination. And then one of them, a few years ago, he was on the news, a guy that I went to high school with, he speared 187-pound tuna off the coast.
Like with the rubber band spears? Like,
yeah, it's called the spear gun. Yeah.
I'm not Aquaman. I'm not going out there doing that, but that is so
many
cool
things. Yeah. It's so cool, but so many things about it terrify me. You know, the water, the gun, the fish.
You're just chilling in the water by yourself with a mask on and some flippers, hoping that someone doesn't sneak attack you. You're free diving,
so exactly. There's no oxygen or anything. You're just diving down, and it's.
Oh, I mean, okay, nuts. That's a good one.
Yeah,
that's up there with my nunchuck. Like,
I like the nunchuck though. That's very. I think that's much more practical.
I mean, you're on land. Like, look, you can get on TV with that too. All right. Last one. What is your go-to karaoke song, or what do you sing in the car, like when you're by yourself?
I'm glad you asked. Yesterday, my son and I we're jamming out to Steve Miller Band Serenade. So yeah,
look at you. That's a good parenting right there.
Yeah, man. I love. I don't know. 1970s emotional rock is my thing.
Emotional rock. I love that.
So yeah, Steve Miller Band. What else? We were listening to the songs from the original Beetlejuice, the Banana Boat song. I mean, I love introducing.
Yeah, that's a good one.
I love introducing that kind of music to my kids. It's hilarious and it's funny, you know, and the typical red wine, stuff like that.
Oh, UB40? That's great.
Yeah, man.
Nice job. I did early on. We did introduce our daughter to Bob Marley.
Yeah.
And just the beat and the sound of his voice.
Yeah.
Honestly, like to this day, she'll throw it on the Alexa when she's just like in her room and it's really cool. So right on, man. Good for you.
It depends, right? We have, just to be honest, we have listened to some Rage Against the Machine on the way to some baseball games and some flag football games. It's just the right tone for the right environment.
Absolutely. That's a good flex. Rage Against the Machine. If you're not ready to throw some smoke from the mound with Rage Against the Machine, I don't know what's going to get you up.
Yep, that's right. That's right.
All right, man. Well, you've been fantastic. Again, so happy to have you in the group, part of Nationwide. Appreciate the time today. So go back, enjoy the rest of your
day.
And we'll talk soon, I'm sure.
Likewise. Thank you so much for your time. Really enjoyed the conversation. Look forward to what we're going to do in the future.
Yeah, man. All right. Talk to you later. And that's a wrap for this episode of Value Nation. But let's keep the conversation going. Follow us on YouTube, Instagram, Facebook, and TikTok at Value Nation Podcast. For market updates, behind the scenes clips, and the occasional real estate meme, I've got a lot of them. Got a question or a wild housing market story? Drop us a comment or DM. We just might feature you in the future episode. Catch you next time on Value Nation, where insights always hold value.